Welcome to the City on Hill podcast. So glad you're joining us today. I believe this message is going to enlarge your faith, increase your vision. God is going to do extraordinary things in you and through you. Work it into your life, share it with your friends, and we cannot wait to see you soon.
But I felt like the Lord this morning wants to start a bit of an encounter. Can I get an amen, or a woman, or a something? So are you ready to encounter God this morning? Amen. Tell the person next to you, get ready. So I'm going to preach as short as I possibly can. And then we're going to open up some time for communion. And then I believe there's going to be a mighty outpouring of the Spirit. And so I've got faith that even while I preach, the Bible says in the book of Acts, while Peter was preaching, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you have faith to be filled and be empowered while I preach? Can I see a hand? Or thank you. I see there's faith people in this room, right? And so I've got faith that God's going to do exceedingly abundantly, far above all that we could think or pray for. So we are in this middle of this exponential series. And the reason why we're calling it exponential is we've been going through the book of Ephesians. And the first four chapters are kind of like just the first four chapters, the beginning of chapter four. We went into the reality that you and I are brand new people. We have a new identity in Christ. If you don't know who God is and you don't know who you are, you cannot be what God has called you to be, and you cannot accomplish what God wants you to accomplish. Can I get an amen, or a woman, or a something? But what happened was that it's not just good enough to know who I am, I also need to know who I can rely on. I also need to know that it's not my strength, it's His strength. I also need to know that it's not my power, but it's His power. I need to be able to step into the more that God's got for me. That's why the exponential curve is an amazing thing. Have you ever studied the exponential curve? Most people don't. They give up before the exponential curve happens to them. I see business owners. They start a business. They're excited. They get going. Tuk, 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 tuk. And then a few years in, they give up. Ooh. Most amazing stories started with a lot of mundane perseverance, faithful, unseen, obscure seasons. Ask John the Baptist. He found himself in the desert, in the wilderness. Ask Elijah. He found himself being fed by ravens. Hello? There's this reality that often we have to persevere through our flesh in order to tap into the supernatural, into the Spirit. Sometimes what happens is people give up and then they do not experience the supernatural exponential impact, exponential growth, exponential reality. This is an exponential growth in God. Do you know what I'm talking about? The exponential reality is about you and me understanding that we are faithful in the natural, but then the supernatural kicks in. You're faithful as a husband in the natural, but then the supernatural kicks in. You're faithful as a father or as a mother, but then the supernatural kicks in. You're faithful as a business owner, but then the supernatural. God, can you say supernatural edge? City on Hill Church, we are called to be a supernatural people with a supernatural edge. I thought you were going to jump through the roof. I mean, friends, we had an amazing prayer time yesterday in our country. More than a million people got together at one place, and all over the country, even us, we were praying in our city. I believe, friends, that is the start of revival, but that is not revival. That's the start of revival. Revival is when each and every one of us start tapping into the exponential power of God. That's revival, when each and every one of us walk with the glory of God, where the glory of God is like a cloud that we walk in to our business places, into our families, into. We are supernatural men and women of God. Can I get an amen, a woman, or a something? Amen? So the reason why we started our exponential series last week with the greatness of God is because we need to set the tone that we cannot experience exponential growth and impact without understanding the God that is involved with us. He is with us. Am I right? But we're going to carry on with Ephesians, and we're going to look at the first two verses of Ephesians 5 this morning, and then I'm going to unpack a whole lot of stuff with us. It says, therefore, be imitators of God. Can you say imitator? I don't want to just be part of a moment. I want to be part of a movement. Be God-like. I want to be an imitator of God. I want to be like Christ. That's why in Antioch, the first time they called people Christians, Christian meaning little Christ, they saw so much of Christ in them that they declared something of, we see Christ in you. It's no longer I that live, Galatians. Paul writes to the church in Galatia, and he says, no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. He says, be imitators of God, dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. I'm amazed at how many people used to wear those bracelets. What would Jesus do? And the problem with I like the sentiment, but I think the problem with the bracelet is the fact that it forces the sentiment at once your mind to think, what can I do so that I can try and be like God? Instead of understanding how can I live from the inside out, because it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Instead of understanding that I cannot be like God out of myself, I can only be like God out of God. Because the Bible says, in him we live and move and have our being. So I cannot be like God out of Mark, because Mark cannot be like God. But God, Christ in me, can empower me to look like Christ, to shine like Christ, to talk like Christ, to walk like Christ, to pray like Christ, in Jesus' mighty name. I want the exponential, supernatural intervention of heaven in my life. I've been seeing it, but I don't believe we've seen enough. We've just started. How about raising those kids of yours? Can we get personal? Can all the parents say amen? How about raising those kids of yours? You know, you need the hand of God. Nehemiah said that the king granted me all my requests because the gracious hand of God was on me. How about raising the kids? Not with our strength, not with our ability, not with our intellect, not with our experience, not with our discipline, but rather raising our kids under the gracious hand of God. How about raising our kids under his gracious hand, empowered by him to be what he's called us? How about that? How about leading at work? Can I get the managers and the business owners to how about, Sean, you know what I'm talking about. This is where the tire hits the road. Am I right? Am I right, Tom? It's not so easy out there. It sounds easy, am I right? But it's not so easy. How about leading at work and becoming a man or woman of heaven, bringing heaven to your workplace? You need the gracious hand of God. You need the empowering of the Holy Spirit. You need the power of God in order to be an imitator of God. You know, most people say to me, Mark, I want to do God's will. I've got amazing news for you. God's will becomes an outflow when you are in him. John chapter 15, I was going to read it later, but I'd like to read it now. John 15, 5, Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Listen to this. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Listen to that statement there afterwards. For apart from me, without me, you can do nothing. Honestly, I need to repent this morning of all the things I tried to do without God. Of all the ways I tried to love my wife without the power of God. For all the ways that I tried to influence people without God. You know what? Influencing people without God is merely called politics. It's not influence. I need the power of God. I need to be abiding in him. You know what, friends? When I'm abiding in him, then the life flows from him through me and I bear fruit. When I abide in him, the life flows from him and he empowers me to go beyond what my ability is. If you were looking for the title of my message, the title of my message is Beyond My Ability. Beyond My Ability. I've got awesome news for you. You don't have to be able, because he is able. Isn't that amazing? If I want to be the husband, or you want to be the wife that you want to be, that you're called to be, you need Jesus. Amen? The natural life is one thing. The supernatural life is what Jesus bought for us on the cross. Isaiah 40 says this. He says, even young men grow weary, talking about physical strength. He says, but the Lord gives strength to the weary. He gives strength. He gives power to the weak. Then he says this. He says, those who wait upon the Lord, Isaiah 40, he says, those who wait upon the Lord. Can you say wait? Those who wait, can you say wait? You know what I realize? I realize that there's people that don't have strength because there's people that don't wait. God doesn't want people that just want strength. God is actually looking for people that are willing to wait. Strength is an overflow of waiters. People that can wait can experience strength. But people that want strength without waiting will wait for a long time. That word wait in the Hebrew is to weave yourself or to plait yourself into the promises of God. To weave yourself, to hide yourself, to actually weave yourself with God. That's what that word means. To remember who he is and what he has done. Now, we have a team of prayers. We have like a whole lot of intercessors in our church. And I want to tell you, friends, that in this church, the reason why we see lost people saved is because we've got people praying. The reason why things happen, we are living today in the fruit of yesterday's prayers. May we pray prayers today that we can live in the fruit of those prayers tomorrow. Amen? And so what happens is, friends, Jean actually came to me this morning and he said, Mark, you know, while we were praying this week, this word seven just came up all the time. Seven in our prayer time. And I said, wow. And then they said, and we prayed and we prayed about going around Jericho's walls and bringing the walls down. Seven times we walk around Jericho's walls and we're going to bring the walls down seven times. I thought, wow. Because they're praying praise, they're not knowing what I prepared. They don't know what the Holy Spirit told me this week. My message was going to be, you'll see it on your thing. My message was going to be, are you still the same? And then the Holy Spirit said to me, no. You can only be supernatural if you live beyond yourself, beyond your ability. So Joshua chapter 6 verse 2 to 5 gives us the answer to, I believe, the supernatural life where we experience God do what only he can do, where God goes beyond the natural, where God goes beyond my ability. And the Lord said to Joshua, so Joshua them, now this is the second generation, Joshua and Caleb's the only guys from the previous generation. They've just seen God open the Jordan. They've just celebrated God. And then God says to them, now it's time to take hold of what I've prepared for you. It's the first city. Now the first city was a worshiping city. The first city, they were not allowed to take anything from that city because God wants to be put first. The first city, friends, just like your finances, the first portion of my finances, that's why the first 10% of my finances goes to Jesus through the local church. Why? Because everything that comes into my life, the first goes to God. Everything, the promised land comes into their lives, the first went to God. Achan kept some of the first, and God was not pleased. But I want to give the first. And so look here what happens. It says, and the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given. Do you see the past tense there? Not I will give, I have given. Sorry, friends, I'm getting excited, and I'm trying to preach short. I have given, listen to this, Jericho into your hand. You know what the problem with most believers is? They still praying futuristic prayers. Oh, Lord, one day in the sweet by and by, will you please heal my brother? Oh, Lord Jesus, one day, please will you provide for me one day, Lord. Lord, one day will you restore, please, that marriage. Lord, one day, Lord, that broken down relationship. Lord, one day, will you please do it one day? God says, no. Today is the day of salvation. Today, when you hear my voice, I will answer you. Today is the day. Not because I will, but because I have. I said, it is finished. The problem with most people, why they don't step into the exponential, is they're talking futuristic. We're going to have a revival. God has already apportioned revival for us. I will not say I'm going to have a revival. I'm going to thank God for the revival that he already prepared for us. Amen? Listen to this. I've given them into your hand. It's king. So all of those rulers, those authorities that come against you, and the mighty men of valor, you shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go around the city once. You shall do 6 days. So once you'll go around the city, and you'll do that for 6 days. What is the number of man? A six. What's the number of perfection? 7. Okay. The number of man is 6. The number of perfection is 7. Watch this. Friends, honestly, if you know someone that's not here this morning, please send them the link to this message. Everyone needs to hear this. I'm praying that 1 million people will hear this message in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Listen to this. And 7 priests. Can you say 7? Woo! Not 6 priests. 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets. Oh, 7 trumpets. Are we going to worship here? 7-fold of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day, can you say 7th day? The 7th day you shall march around the city. How many times? 7 times. 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7. I believe we're crossing over this morning from a 6 life to a 7 life. Can you give him praise? Come on. Your business is crossing from a 6 business to a 7 business. Watch this. Watch this. It says, and the priest shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and all the people shall go up, every man straight before him. Isn't that awesome? We know the history. They do this 6 days. Most people give up because, hey man, it's boring. What am I doing here? It doesn't feel right. You know, Lord, I'm giving, but it doesn't make sense. Oh, Lord, you know, I'm praying, but I'm not feeling anything. Oh, Lord. Oh, la, 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 la. You know what? God told them to be silent. When things don't go your way, don't speak about it. I want to ask you, what about dealing with someone that with a lost one? If you had a family member that died, we just heard of a family that lost a baby this weekend. How do you deal with that? If you don't have the gracious hand of God. Because on the 7th day, God brought the walls down. They didn't bring the walls down. They didn't come with their hammers and said, oh, it's the 7th day. Boom, 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 boom. God brought it down because God gave it to them. How do you experience, how do you go through facing the deepest loss if you don't have the hand of God on you? If you don't have the 7th hand on you? How about you go to the doctor and you get a bad report? Can I get an amen, a woman? You know what I'm talking about? The doctor doesn't tell you what you want to hear. He doesn't even tell you what you need to hear. Am I right? That's what happens. That's when we need. How about losing a lot of money? Yes, I did a business deal and I lost a lot of money. What do you do in those moments? We need to come to the 7th hand. We need to come to lean into the power of God, lean into the presence of God, lean into the ability of God, not my ability, beyond my ability. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 9 and onwards, I'm going to be sharing with you about a guy called Naaman. And you will see how this guy, what hindered him from entering into the 7-fold, the seventh hand, the gracious hand of God, what hindered him from accessing what God did, the supernatural. Look at what happened to him. Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. Now, I need to give you the backdrop. Naaman had leprosy. And his leprosy was a death sentence. If you're far from God here this morning, sin is like leprosy. It's a death sentence. You're going to die. If you're far from God, I'm sorry to say, it's not politically correct, but it's true. Without Jesus and without accepting the price he paid for you on the cross, you're dying. You've got leprosy. And it's just a matter of time, and you're gone. And so Naaman finds himself in that space where he knows he's going to die. But then he hears about the prophet, and he wants to go and literally buy his freedom. He wants to go and buy his healing. He wants to go and buy his salvation. But all of us know that you cannot buy your salvation because Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price for your salvation on the cross. You cannot go to church 50 times and think that'll save you. You cannot give 50 million rand and think that'll save you. No amount of money. Naaman brought 38 million rands worth of gold in order to buy his salvation, and the prophet took nothing of it. Why? Because you cannot buy what God has made available for free. Can we give God praise for that? But what happened with this guy is what happens with so many believers. Is they get offered breakthrough. They get offered the supernatural hand of God. They get offered the exponential impact of God, the exponential growth of God, but they reject it. Just like Naaman, because we are all so clever, so wise, and sometimes so full of ourselves. And if you're looking at me holy, I rebuke that religious spirit. Are we still friends? It says, and Elijah sent a messenger to him. So Naaman's standing there. I'm ready to get whatever. I've brought my money. I've brought my stuff. I'm a big shot. And Elijah sends a messenger to him. Elijah doesn't even come and see him himself. And he says to him, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored to you and you shall be clean. Naaman hears this, and Naaman is not happy. Listen to what happens to Naaman. But Naaman became furious, and he went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, I already decided how God is going to answer my prayers. I mean, I am just so amazing. I decided exactly how God's going to come with his supernatural power. I decided what God's going to do for me. I will put God in my little box, because my little religious box, if God doesn't fit into it, I will not receive from God, because God has to fit into my puny little thinking rather than me fit into his majestic awesomeness. I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand. Oh, you can so hallelujah. Father, the prophet came to my house. Wax on, wax off. It's in your Bible. Karate Kid is in the Bible. He says he's going to wait and heal the leprosy. But then he says this. He says, and now he tells me to go and wash in this little river that makes no sense. He says, are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than the waters of Israel? Could I not go and wash in them and be cleansed? He's clean, and he says, so he turned and went away in rage. What? You want the exponential move of God, but you know what happens? When God does not answer you the way you expect, clump, 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 you reject what God wants to do. That's all of us. Hello? I'm like, no, God, you're going to do it like this. You know, Lord, you're going to give me that business deal. You're going to give me that job. Oh, Lord, you're going to give me that husband. Oh, really? God will give you the husband you need. Not the husband you want. Okay. Often if you're in the spirit, I got what I needed and wanted. Just hear me out. But sometimes, you know what happens? We are so blinded by our little preconceived ideas that we cannot embrace everything God's got for us. Why are we not experiencing exponential growth? Why are we not experiencing exponential maturity? You know why people are still immature? Because they put God in a box. And if you've been serving God for 30 years, or maybe 20 years, or maybe 10 years, I want to say this to you. God is still big, and we are still small, because I'm in your boat, and I still need Jesus every day. I still need to read my Bible every single day. I still need to spend time with Jesus every day. Yeah, but Mark, you've been reading through the Bible. You've read through the Bible more than 10 times in your life. How many times more do you want to read through the Bible? Another 100? and some more. But Mark, you know, you've gone to all these courses. Why do you want to go to another one? Because I want to grow. Because I don't know everything. Amen. Listen to this. Friends, this week, I felt so inadequate. Because you know that feeling of you need to forgive someone, but you don't have the strength to forgive them? I'm talking now to people that have been walking with God. If you're close to God, you know this. If you're far from God, this is even harder because without God, I don't think true forgiveness is really, really possible. Because the revelation of the cross makes forgiveness possible. But listen to this. Friends, how about someone hurt you? Someone disappointed you? They spat on you. They lied about you. They spoke ugly towards you. They stole from you. They broke your heart. They ran away with your money. They did stuff. They hurt your family. How about those people that you say, man, they don't deserve my forgiveness? How about those people? I don't have the power to forgive them. But He is in me. And by His grace, I can do it. Come on! I've got a meeting tomorrow. And I've got to go and say sorry to someone. We don't like saying sorry. We like giving excuses. But sorry, I did nothing wrong. And if I did something wrong, get over it, man. But when you humble yourself, the Holy Spirit comes and empowers you to say sorry when you cannot say it in your own strength. Amen? Verse 13 says, 2 Kings 5, Lord, help us, son, stand still. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? I wish you can get this morning. If this is all you get this morning, friends, you know what I've seen? Sometimes it's so easy that we miss it. A wise man once said this to me. He said, sometimes things are so easy we miss it. You want to prophesy, but you feel it's so difficult. So guess what happens? You miss the opportunity to prophesy. You want to pray for sick people. You make it so difficult, so complicated that you miss it. You think, hallelujah. God's saying, no, 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 just trust me. Come on. It's often so easy that people miss it. Just wash and be clean. Just step out of your ability and step into His ability. Whoa. Something shifted right now. I believe that the Lord is busy ministering to people's hearts right now. Can you sense it? Second Kings 5:14. So he went down. Can you say he went down? You know what I learned? To experience the supernatural power of God calls for humility. You know why, friends, all the men and women of God that I've studied, their lives that have walked in great power and great wonders and seen great things with God, all the people, friends, built buildings like these, all the people that have done, I mean, impossible stuff, all the people that have done, Angus Buchan is one of them, all of the people that have done the impossible, you know where they start? The Bible says that God gives grace to the humble, but He resists the proud. God gives grace to the humble. He lifts the humble up. You know what I see? I see so many people, so many believers. Lord, don't worry, I've got this one. I'll raise the kid till he's 18 and then you can look, sort him out, Lord. Thanks. Lord, I've got my finances. Don't worry, help the poor people. God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. He went down. Listen to this. He went down and dipped 6 times. I don't know about you, but this is awesome. Watch. He dipped 7 times. How many times did they go around Jericho? On which day did Jesus rest? Did God rest? Wow. There now remains a rest for the people of God. Hebrews chapter 4. There now remains a rest for the people of God. Wow. Listen to this, friends. It's when you are in the rest of God, you step into His rest. You step into His ability. You rest in Him. You don't rest on your assurance. You don't rest on your ability. You rest in Him. It's in the seventh day. We've got to live in the seventh day, friends. It's seventh day lifestyle. Wow. It says, according to the saying of the man of God, his flesh was restored, and like his, and like a little child, he was clean. Wow. If you're far from God, Jesus paid a price for you. If you're close to God, it's time to rest in Him. We're going to do a series next year. We're going to work through the book of Galatians. I see so many believers go back into works. Go back into do's and don'ts. What about going into the finished work of the cross? What about going into the Sabbath rest of God? What about people that live, that says, "Ooh, I live in the rest of my Savior. The seventh day, the seventh time." Now here, if you want to live a life that brings God glory, who wants to live a life that brings God glory, that worships God? I want to talk to you today about when they built the altar in the temple. Ezekiel prophesied this. It's so profound. It's so powerful. You got to get this. This is the highlight of the revelation. Watch this. It says in verse 13 of Ezekiel 43 that these are the measurements of the altar in long cubits. The measurements of the altar, the whole building outside was measured in cubits. And a cubit, I'm going to ask them just to quickly put the picture up of the cubit, the size of the cubit. The cubit is the size, listen to this, of a man's head from his elbow to his fingertips. That's the size of a cubit. You know how many hand breaths fit into a cubit? Can I show you? You can try it. It works for everyone.
6 hand breaths.
6 hand breaths fit into a cubit. Watch this. Try it. Quickly take it. Test it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It does. It fits. Am I right? You're never going to forget this preach. Whenever you open the car, you're like, yeah, 6 cubits. Oh, 6 hand breaths is 1 cubit. 1 cubit. Listen to this, friends. They built everything outside with 1 cubit. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. The altar, they built with a long cubit. Are you buckled up? A long cubit, that cubit being a cubit and a hand breath. Listen to this. A hand breath, its gutter is a cubit deep and a cubit wide, a rim of it, the span around the edge, and this is the height of the altar. The height of the altar, the measurements of the place of worship, the measurements of the place of sacrifice. Brad touched on the fact that we offer our bodies up as living sacrifices. The measurements of my life as an altar to God, as a worship offering to God, is not 6 hand breaths. It's not the number of man. It's the number of God. It's the seventh hand. It's the hand of God on my life. It's the hand of God on my life. I don't know if you get this. The hand of God on my life. If I live under the 6 hands, I don't bring Him glory. Because I'm living in my strength and in my power and in my ability. But when I live in the 7th hand, the supernatural becomes natural. The impossible becomes possible. The Spirit of God becomes my best friend, because I have the 7th hand on my life. I've got the 7th hand in my marriage, because I'm not married for myself. I'm married for the glory of God. I've got the 7th hand on my children, because I'm not raising them for me or for the marketplace. I'm raising them for the glory of God. I've got the 7th hand on my finances. I'm not spending money for myself. I'm bringing glory to God. I've got the 7th hand. The 7th hand, friends. the seventh hand, that's why we need to become prayers, man. We need to become people that humble ourselves before God. Say, God, I cannot do this in my own strength. I'm nothing without you, God. Apart from you, I can do nothing. I cannot settle for the sixth hand. I'm not going to go for a normal cubit. I'm going for the long cubit in my life. I'm going for the seventh hand. The seventh hand. I can do so much, but God can do supernaturally, exceedingly abundantly, far above all that I could think or pray for. I've seen prophecy. I walk into a coffee shop, and I walk in with the sixth hand mentality, and nothing happens. And then I walk in with a seventh hand mentality, and I know the hand of God is on this coffee time, and the waiter must be careful, they're going to get blessed. And the person at the cashier is going to get blessed. And the person at the spa till is going to get blessed. And the car guard's going to get blessed. Then it met geld nie, ook bietjie met blessing. Hello? Sorry, I'm getting excited. My wife, woo, she's going to get blessed. When the seventh hand is my portion. I want to ask you, are you living with a seventh hand? Or are you living under six hands? You know what I learned? It's the seventh hand, it's not the first. Most people want God first to do and then they'll do. Most people want God first to make me a millionaire, then I'll trust you. Heal them and then I'll pray for more sick people. No, pray now. Trust him now. No, but Lord, if they say sorry, then I'll forgive them. Forgive. And then they'll say sorry. It's not by might. It's not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Thomas Chalmers said the following. He says, in those times of hopeless chaos, when the sovereign hand, it's in those times of hopeless chaos, when the sovereign hand of God is most likely to be seen. I want to close with the scripture, and then we're going to have a time of ministry, because this morning, I believe every person's going to leave here with the seventh hand of God anointing on their life. I've got faith for that. It says here, and Elijah said to Ahab, now Elijah just literally called fire down from heaven. Elijah just found himself experiencing supernatural answer from heaven, but he still needed the rain. And what did Jesus promise us? He promised us the latter rain. Remember that? The former and the latter rain, the rain of the Spirit, God promised us. Am I right? The revival, the move of God promised us this. It says, and Elijah said, go eat and drink, for there's a sound of heavy rain. Was there rain? No, there hasn't been rain for more than 3 years. He prophesied something that was not yet a reality. I've learned this, that people that experience the seventh hand are not people that wait for stuff to happen. They declare it. They speak the things that be not as though they were. They speak it into life. They don't wait for it to happen. They speak it into life. When last have you prophesied over your children? When last did you prophesy over your parents? Forgive me, I'm speaking from the heart of God. When last did you prophesy over your workplace? When last did you look at yourself in the mirror and prophesy over yourself? I am convicted by the Spirit. It says here, so Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel. Friends, we need to get to the mountain of God, pray, but we need to humble ourselves in that place. It says he bent down. Woo, there's another one. He went down. Can you say down? Tell the person next to you, I'm going down. I'm going up in him, but I'm going down to myself. Less of me and more of him. Amen. That's what John the Baptist said. Remember that? Listen to this. It says, he says he bent down to the ground and he put his face between his knees. He put his face between his knees. Humility. Humility attracts the seventh hand. Proud people live with six hands. Humble people, the seventh hand. Holy Spirit, you do what you don't want to do. Go and look toward the sea, he said to his servant. And he went up and looked. There's nothing there, he said. Seven times. Woo! That's again. Seven times. Can you say seven times? Seven times. And he said, go back. The seventh time the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand. A cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. Listen to this, friends. A cloud as small as a man's hand. You know what I believe God was doing? And I'll confirm this in heaven. Do you know what I believe God was doing? Just give me some license here. You know what God was doing? He said, listen, when you humble yourself in prayer, you align yourself and you lay down your six, all your efforts. Say, Lord, I've done it all. I cannot do it. I'm at the end of myself. I'm laying myself down at your feet. You know what happens? God says, I will reveal my seventh hand upon your life. I'll bring rain through the, it says, like a man's hand. It wasn't a man's hand. It was like a man's hand. Why? Because he could see a hand in the clouds. I believe it's going to rain. And it's time that we humble ourselves and we open ourselves for the hand of God to bring the rain. Because the hand brought the rain. But not just that. God will not only give you the provision that you need by his seventh hand. He'll give you the power to cope with it. I said, Lord, but what if 300 cancer people get healed in one meeting? What will I be able to handle it? God says, you'll be able to handle it because I'll give you the strength to do it. Some of you in this room, God's calling you to minister to the poor, to break out and to even do some stuff in government and do some supernatural stuff, and you need the seventh hand to provide. God is saying this. He says, if I give you the provision, I'll also give you the strength to keep up with the provision. You know what happened with Elijah? The Bible says, Ahab was running with horses and chariots. Listen to this. And band, you can come to the front. The band can come. Ahab was running with horses and chariots. Elijah tucks his cloak in. Guess what happens? He outruns horses. Come on. He outruns horses. He runs faster and further than a natural man. He goes beyond his ability. I believe God wants us to break out of the six-hand mentality into a long cubit, into a seventh hand, into the seventh time around our city, into the seventh time that we go down into the water, into the seventh time that we put our face between our knees. Because God says it's in that place where you stop trusting in yourself and you start trusting in me, that that exponential curve becomes your reality. The impossible becomes your possible. The unthinkable becomes, the unimaginable becomes your reality. In Jesus' name. Can you give him praise? I'd like you to stand. And this morning, even as we sing, I'll sing praises to your name. As we sing, I sense like there's going to be the cloud of heaven, the seventh hand. It seems like we're going to go from our natural into the supernatural. You're going to go from relying on our ability to relying on his ability. Jesus.